You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
Well, it's a new year with new beginnings. Many people this time of the year, they make a lot of decisions. Amen? Where they're going to stay, where they're going to work, what diets they're going to follow, what school they have to place their children in, what are they going to study. A lot of decisions this time of the year. But life's biggest decision that you can make is, what will I do with Jesus Christ? Will you still be standing for Jesus at the end? That's the most important question that we have to answer. Elijah said, the God before whom I stand. We stand before God in everything that we do. In the marketplace, you stand for God. We have to stand for God, the God before whom we stand. People may not see Him, but we are standing before God. And the Bible says we have to make decisions where we choose life. In 2025, God has said this is the year of grace upon grace. But we have to ask ourselves the question, will I be able to walk in that grace upon grace? If I'm going to walk in grace and I want to please God, it's going to involve faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is not for the possible. Faith is for the impossible. So those things that seem impossible, that's where you need the faith. And those are the things that please God. It's very quiet. Turn to the person next to you and say, you need faith to please God. You know, so people always ask the question, do I have faith to please God? Do I have faith to please God? Well, I want to tell you the answer is yes. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, it's impossible to please God without faith. And he that comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But Hebrews 11 verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance. So the big question is, do you have the faith to please God? And the answer is yes. So let's look at that verse. I just want to take a minute or two. Faith is the substance. What is the substance? The substance is Jesus Christ himself. The substance is Jesus, the fact that he's died on the cross, that he came to this earth, he died and he rose from the dead. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is the evidence? This. Faith is the substance. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, we have been saved by grace. You've been saved by grace through faith. And that is not of yourself, it's a gift of God. John 1:16 says, and the fullness, when it manifested and we saw it, it was full of grace upon grace. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. The fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ is on the inside of us. So that grace, when it manifested, we saw grace upon grace. Grace is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Turn to the person next to you and say, grace is a person. So he is the person that came to make a way for us. Amen? Faith, how does faith come into our hearts? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. The word became flesh and it manifested among us, and we could see its glory, full of grace and truth. So just put Ephesians 2 verse 8 quickly back on the overhead for the church. So if grace is Jesus Christ, and faith comes through the Word, who is Jesus Christ, then we can say, for by Jesus Christ you've been saved through Jesus Christ, and that is not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Colossians 1 teaches us that the hope of glory was kept a secret, it was hidden on the inside of us. Colossians 1 verse 27, To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Ephesians 2 verse 8, you saved by grace through faith. Where did you get the faith to get saved if you didn't know God? God, by his divine mercy and grace, deposited mustard seed faith on the inside of you so that you can accept Jesus Christ's gift of salvation. What does that mean? It means every person has got the potential to be a God pleaser. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. What does it mean? Faith has been placed in every person to be a God pleaser. The problem is not faith. The problem is not grace. Do you know what's the problem? Do you believe? Turn to the person next to you and say, do you believe? Do you believe the promises that God has given you? The word that God has given you, do you believe it? Faith is never the problem. Faith is never the problem. Do you believe? Now, certain people in the Bible, when you read about them, you see they are called a friend of God. The Bible says Moses is called a friend of God. When you read in Isaiah 41 verse 8, it says Abraham was a friend of God. Never, when you think about God, will you come and call him friend. You'll think Lord, Master, Creator of the universe. But here God comes and he calls Abraham his friend. This will bring me to our sermon topic for today. Be a friend of God in 2025. Amen. Let's pray. Precious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your tremendous grace. Thank you for making a way that we can be called the friends of God. Oh, Father, let your people hear your voice upon my voice as I minister in this morning. Touch hearts and change hearts. Stir up faith on the inside that people will have hope and know that you love them, that you've made a way for them. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And we thank you for that. We bless you for that. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you can see this week God was busy with me on friendship. Amen. Because friendships are so important. Everybody wants to feel that they belong. A matter of fact, you don't want to feel that you're on the outside. You want to be in the inner circle. You want to feel that you are close. This is what God has done for us. So I want to look at 6 points for you to know what you have to do to be a friend of God. And what happens when you're a friend of God? Are you ready for that? Well, number one, friends of God believe God. Friends of God believe God. I've told you now, faith is not the problem. Grace is not the problem. Jesus has come, he's manifested his grace. But do you believe it? James 2 verse 23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. What happened? Abraham believed God. The promise that God had gave him, he believed it. And the Bible says it was accounted to him as righteousness. And when it was accounted to him as righteousness, he was called a friend of God. Nobody just walks up to God and say, hello, my friend. No, we stand in awe. This is a holy God. This is a perfect God. This is a righteous God. But can you see here this nature of our God who wants to be emotionally attached to us? He first loved us. That's why we can love him. So it's so important that what you confess, you believe. What Abraham said, he believed. Romans 10. What does it say? It says, when you confess with your mouth and you believe with your heart. With your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With your heart, you believe unto righteousness. When you do that and your confession has got your heart's full agreement, you are born again. When you are born again, you are born of the Spirit of God. When you believe that Jesus has died for you, that he rose from the dead, you become a friend of God. Can I say this? There's grace upon grace this year to believe. Turn to the person next to you and say, believe big this year. Are you ready to believe? When we do certain things that seem ordinary to believe God, it has an extraordinary effect in the spirit. So number one, friends of God, believe God. When you believe God speaks to you and God tells you to do something, it might seem ordinary, but it's accounted to you as righteousness. And when something is accounted to righteousness, everything changes, because then you've positioned yourself where God is interested in whatever you do and whatever you say. You've become a friend. Your friends, when they go through a difficult time, you're interested. You want to know what's happening. Amen? So number one, friends believe. Number two, friends obey. Friends of God obey. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. When God gave him instruction, he obeyed. Can I say this? Your obedience is the only proof of your faith. If you want to be a God pleaser, the proof of your faith is your obedience. Friends are prepared to make sacrifices. When you emotionally attach to somebody as a friend, you're prepared to make sacrifices. Think about a mother. She might have not slept the whole night, worked the whole day, but when she comes home, she'll make sure that the children are fed. Not even thinking about it. Why? There's an emotional attachment there, more than friendship. Jesus is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. When you obey, sometimes it will cost you. Turn to the person next to you, say, sacrifice is normal. Say it again, say, sacrifice is normal. You have to finish the sentence, when you're in a friendship. Why? Because the friendships that God honors are those that are mutual. Mutual trust, mutual commitment, mutual sacrifice. Amen. Number three, when you're in friendship with God, it's not just a friendship, it's a covenant with God. Covenant speaks of a deep commitment. Genesis 17 verse 4, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Covenant means there's a deep commitment. A matter of fact, the covenant that God made with Abraham, the promise that he gave him, if you go to Galatians 3 verse 14, is the promise of the Holy Spirit. It's the promise of the Holy Spirit. That's the promise that he made. And when you have the Holy Spirit in your life, everything changes. Everything changes because you have the Spirit of life. The Spirit that brings life. The Spirit that will work in you, with you, and through you. This covenant that we have with God establishes a peace in our heart that surpasses all understanding. When you're in covenant with God, just think for 1 minute. Who's the most influential person that you'd like to know? If they became your best friend, how would your life change? Covenant means you can start to walk in a new level in life. Amen. Do you want to know more about friends? Who of you are good friends? Let me see. Raise your hand. To find a good friend is hard. Can I tell you something about friends? Friends pray for one another. Friends intercede. Friends reach up, reach in, and reach out. When you look at Genesis 18 verse 6, the topic of that chapter is Abraham intercedes for Sodom. There's no greater way of showing your love than by praying for somebody. Covering them with prayer, blessing them, bringing them before God. When you start reaching up, touching the heart of God, reaching in, allowing God to touch your heart, The natural thing is to reach out and touch the heart of a community. Abraham was accounted a friend of God. He was made righteous when he believed. It was accounted to him as righteousness, and he's called a friend. Why is it important to be righteous? Because when you are righteous, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. When Abraham became a friend of God, you can look at that. He came and he said, well, I withhold anything from Abraham. He says, Abraham is my friend. How can I do anything and not reveal it to him? Abraham, Sodom is in danger. Reveals it to him. What does he do? He starts interceding for Sodom. He says, Lord, if there's 50 righteous people, will you save them? 40, 30. You know what most Christians do when God reveals something to them? Oh, the Lord revealed to me, brother, you're going to die in a car accident tomorrow. You know what we do? We say, I just want to tell you, when I see things like that happen, I'm sorry, if you go to work tomorrow, you're dead. My auntie, when she dreams and she sees something, it happens. That's not why God is showing it to you. He's showing it to you because you're a friend, so that you can intercede and change that situation and circumstances. When you dream and have visions, yes, give the Lord a hand. When you have visions and dreams of something bad that happens, don't come in agreement with the bad. Bad is killing, stealing, and destroying. We are not people that walk in killing, stealing, and destroying. We walk in life and life in abundance. So when you have a dream about somebody that gets shot, or somebody that gets is in a car accident, or somebody has dog bites them or whatever, and say, oh, buddy, I've got news for you. Dog bite is waiting for you. I saw the infection. It's going to be bad. It's going to be painful. No, that's not why God has showed it to you. Go and petition it. Say, Father, you've showed this to me. Cover this friend with your blood. Cover it with your righteousness. I petition this dog that wants to bite him, that wants to harm him. I resist it in the spirit with the name and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The thoughts that you have towards this brother are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give him a future and a hope. The thoughts that you have towards him is not a dog biting him. And if a dog has bitten somebody and you saw it, then you say, Lord, I declare it null and void in Jesus' mighty name. Turn it around. I declare healing, health, and strength. Not, oh, Sodom, there you go. Fire. It's going to be brim. You're going to burn, buddy. Burn, burn. It's time to turn or burn. No. Do you know why God obeyed Abraham? Because Abraham obeyed God. That's the relationship. Abraham obeyed God. Therefore, God obeyed Abraham. Elijah listened to God. That's why God listened to Elijah. That's the principle. What you sow, you will reap. The relationship that God desires of us is one that is mutual. Amen? A friendship where God can trust us and we can trust God. Are you still with me? Where are we? Point number? Covenant. Next point. We're praying. I've done that. Number 5, friends of God trust in God's promises. Do you still trust God's promises? Abraham held on to the promises of God when it seemed impossible. Listen to me, family. Your situation might seem impossible, but the friend that's backing you is Jesus Christ. In Genesis 18, verse 14, the first part, he said, is anything too hard for the Lord? Abraham was 100. From a natural point of view, it was impossible. I think mentally, physically, it was impossible for him to have children. The Bible says Sarah's womb was dead. So from a natural point of view, it seemed impossible. But God said, you're going to have a child. And Abraham trusted God. Amen? And Romans 4 verse 20, this is how he did it. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Can I tell you the secret here? If it's not manifested yet, start giving glory to God. Start thanking God. Anybody can shout up and down and shout hallelujah when they've received the healing, when they've received the breakthrough, when they have their baby. But it takes a man and woman of faith to believe the promises of God, confess them, and thank God when they've not seen it as yet. The Bible says, and him being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. So things that you do that seem ordinary to thank God positions you, and it's accounted to you as righteousness. When it's accounted to you as righteousness, it positions you to attract God's favor and God's grace. It positions you where God is interested in whatever you are saying, whatever you are doing, because the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayers. Are you ready to be a friend of God? Friends of God, trust his promises. Let me see if you've got a promise from God. You've got a friend in Jesus that's going to back you so that you can see it through. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Don't just give it one clap. Amen. When you give glory to God, I mean, the one thing that comes in people's hearts the whole time is unbelief. The one way that we know that the Bible says that we can get rid of unbelief is when we start to give glory to God. When we start to give glory to God, it changes everything. Just go back to that scripture, verse 21. And being fully convinced that what he had promised he was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake only, but it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us when we believe in him who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. It's not just for Abraham, it's for you as well. I'm telling you, when you're 100, to give glory to God and say a child is coming, you have to put your trust in the promise. Have to put your trust in the promise. Say, God, what you have promised is true. I'm going to confess it. I'm going to declare it until I see it. And if that thing is pressing against you, wants to steal your faith, then you keep on thanking God, giving glory to God. Because the more you thank him, the more you will expel all shades of unbelief in your heart, and it will be filled with faith. Amen. He gave glory to God because he was fully convinced God was going to do it. To thank God for something when you've not seen it, something else. Abraham at 100, when I think about it, at 100, he's thanking God for Isaac, but Isaac is not there. Thanking God for Isaac, but Isaac is not there. That's a friend. Coming to a friend and saying, I want to thank you, God, for Isaac, but Isaac is not there. And when he did that, he started thanking him. When do you say thank you? You say thank you when you've received something. So he was saying, I'd received it already. I'm thanking you that it's done. And if you understand what Jesus has done, the Bible says before the foundations of the earth was laid, he died for us already. The work was complete. Was complete. Although he only died on the cross, when he died on the cross, it was done in the spirit. This is where God is taking us. A friend that wants to take us to a new level in Christ Jesus. Amen. Friends trust each other. Can God trust you? You want God to be faithful, to trust him to be faithful. Well, can God trust you this year to be faithful? If we want to be called a friend of God, can God trust you? The last point that I love. You know, the Bible says the Lord spoke to Abraham, so he met with him. He even had the grace to meet with Melchizedek. But the Bible talks about another friend, Moses. They met with God. In the book of Exodus 33, we read that God met with Moses face to face. Exodus 33:11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend. And he would return to the camp, but the servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Can I tell you something? Look at this young man, Joshua. God is meeting with Moses face to face as a friend. He's talking to him, sharing with him what to do. Joshua is obviously hearing all of it. When Moses goes out to speak to the people, what does Joshua do? He remains in the presence of God. Friends of God love the presence of God. They love the presence of God. Test your heart and see, do I love the presence of God? Do I love being in the presence of God to meet face to face? It's wonderful that we can meet on social media and Facebook and Twitter and, I mean, the YouTube streaming and TV streamings and everything. But face-to-face is something different. I mean, you can do a video call, and I can see your face. But when you hear, I can smell your perfume. I can smell the sweat if you've had a tough day. Sometimes we're over-spiritual and think we're just going to smell roses. No, sometimes you smell the grass when you've been cutting the grass, and it's too long after December. Amen? The promise, the covenant that was made with Abraham, Galatians 3:14, you can go read it. The promise was that of the Holy Spirit to us as Gentiles. Do you love God's presence? The next generation, what Moses did right, speaking to God. Joshua, the next generation, remained in the presence of God. That's where you change. You change in the presence of God. When we meet with Him face to face, that's where we change in His presence. Are we teaching the next generation to love God and to love God's presence? Because if this is all they love, I don't have to go to church, I'll just watch it here. Yes, you can be taught the Word of God through this, but to meet in person is completely different. That's why the Bible says, do not neglect the assembly of the saints as the manner of some, even as you see the day approaching. So the question you have to ask yourself, have you given Jesus the rightful place in your heart as a friend? Is Jesus one of the things in your life, or is He the thing in your life? Because remember what God says in Psalm 51. He says, what does the Lord desire of you? He desires truth in the innermost part. In your heart of hearts, are you a friend of God? Everybody will say they're a friend of God, but in your heart of hearts, are you loyal towards God? Is He your friend? Do you believe Him? Do you obey Him? Do you walk in covenant with Him? Do you pray and talk to Him? Do you hold on to His promises? Do you love His presence? Because I cannot say my wife is my best friend, but I never spend time with her. I never talk to her. So God the Father can see if you're only a friend outwardly. But are you such in heart? Because that's what it's really all about. To be a friend of God is to make sure that you keep the peace in your heart. Now it's very quiet because now we're talking Christianity. Now we're talking the gospel. Because Christianity is all about the purity of our hearts. If you want to be a Christian, I said the biggest decision that you'll make is to choose Jesus. But will you be standing at the end? Do you know what it means to finish strong as a friend of God? When you close your eyes to cross over, will your heart be offense-free and say, Jesus, I know You will be calling me Your friend. When your heart is offense-free, then you're finishing strong. When this heart is full of love for everybody around you. I'm closing with this. Everybody wants Jesus to heal them, to deliver them, to give them breakthrough, to give them blessing. But how many wants to be a friend of God? Abraham was called a friend of God. God has made it easy for us to be his friend. He sent Jesus Christ, who is grace, to this earth. Grace upon grace is deposited, mustard seed faith on the inside of our hearts. Will you believe? Faith is simply a lifestyle of trusting God, believing God. This Christianity is all about the heart. Turn to the person that you say, whether you like it or not, it's all about your heart. Remember, I told you what God values most about you is beyond human comprehension, because in our hearts, we are made to be like God. That God part, God wants to be there. He wants to sit on the throne in the innermost part. Your obedience to the word of God is the proof of your faith. Amen? Your obedience is the proof of your faith. We talk to our friends. Do you talk to Jesus? No greater way have you got to express your love than to pray for friends. I'm closing with this last scripture. Jesus' disciples are walking with him. He's discipling them. They do some crazy things, say some things, do some things. But then one day in John 15, I'm going to read from the Passion Translation, verse 14. Jesus says, "You show that you are my intimate friends when you obey all that I command you." Same principle with Abraham, same principle in the New Testament with his disciples. "I've never called you servants because the master doesn't confide in his servants. And servants don't always understand what the master is doing. Will I hide anything from Abraham?" He says, "I'm not treating you like a servant, Abraham. I'm treating you as a friend." He says to his disciples, "I'm not going to hide anything from you. If you are my servants, I have to keep things from you. But I call you my intimate friends, for I reveal to you everything that I've heard from my Father." Psalm 25 says, "The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him." You didn't choose me, but I've chosen and commissioned you to go into the world to bear fruit. And your fruit will last, because whatever you ask my Father for my sake, he will give it to you. So this is my parting command. Love one another deeply. We have a God that has made a decision to be emotionally attached to us. We love him because he first loved us. He first loved us. A matter of fact, Romans 5 says, when we hated him, wanted nothing to do with him, he married us. He made himself one with us. That's his commitment. I mean, would you marry and make yourself one and love somebody that hates you? No. Jesus didn't come and love us with friendship love. He came and loved us with an unconditional love. Unconditional love got emotionally attached to us when we were nothing to do with him. Why don't you make a decision in this year to be a friend of God? When God is your friend, he'll back you in everything. He'll support you in everything. When Abraham was God's friend and righteousness was accounted to him, even when Abimelech wanted to touch his wife, remember, he actually told a lie. He said, "It's my sister." What did the Lord say to Abimelech? He said to him, "Abimelech, you are a dead man because you are touching my friend's wife." He said, "But Lord, he lied to me and he said it's his sister." The Lord said to him, "That's the only reason I haven't killed you. I'm giving you my narrative. Go read it." He says, "You touching my friend's wife, and if you touch her, you're dead." That's the friend that you have in Jesus Christ. He will fight for you. He'll stand for you. He said to Abraham, "I'll be your shield. I'll be your protection. I'll be your exceedingly great reward." In the same way he believed, you have the faith inside of you to believe. And when you believe, it will be accounted to you as righteousness. And you will be accounted a friend of God. Maybe you won't call God friend. But when God looks at you, he calls you his friend. See you later.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.